do what we hired him to do, which is run the government within the confines of the Constitution and only with the money he collects from taxes and other fees.
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, what we have to look at is the president is the chief executive officer of this corporation called the United States of America. The president is the chief executive officer of this corporation called the United States of America. The president is the chief executive officer of this corporation called the United States of America.
Can you handle the truth? Welcome to the Jordan Maxwell Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Jordan Maxwell Show for the second hour. I'm your guest host, Jeffrey Matt, and we have, as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, a special guest this evening, Mr. Max Egan. And I'm just really delighted to have him on tonight. We're going to talk about some what I would consider very important material, not only about his work, but projects that are going on. Max, are you there?
I certainly am. Thanks for having me on, brother. It's a pleasure to be here and talk to you.
Oh, absolutely. The honor's mine. I wanted to start off in saying that I became aware of your work by doing my own homework, and it really resonated with me. Your approach is straightforward. There's no frills. It's just straightforward information, and it's very down to earth. And this is something that I find is, unfortunately, there's not enough of it out there. And it's difficult for me to find people in my entourage who are of like mind. And coming across your work was like a breath of fresh air. So I want to thank you on a personal level. But at the same time, I want to segue my personal experience into a project that I want to discuss this evening with you, and it's called the Full Circle Project, and it's something that's available to learn more about on fullcircleproject.org. But I want to hear more about this project from you and see what are your thoughts on it and where it's going.
Well, this project was a project that I created kind of out of necessity. You know, out of everywhere I travel, everywhere I go, I meet so many people, and I get so many emails from people, and even comments on my YouTube clips and everything from people saying, I'm lonely, I'm awake, but I'm lonely, I've got no one to talk to, and I'm going crazy. And I want to do something, I want to make a difference, but I don't know what to do. And I find that there's groups in every town, there's people like this in every town. You'll find that there's a whole group of people in any given town who are all awake, and they don't know each other, they don't have anyone to talk to, they have no way of connecting with each other. So with the Full Circle Project, what I created was this idea of connecting everybody in their local community. Now, I had these all sorts of ways I wanted to do this. I was looking for all sorts of different means of uniting the collective consciousness in a singular focus. You know, I tried the Amazon. I tried all sorts of means of doing it. And then when I was in England, I met this guy called Matt Dowell, who created this thing called the Community Connector, which he wanted to use to link up people in the community. And I looked at this, and I went, this is exactly what I'm looking for Full Circle Project. You know, so that, you know, what you can do, you can join the project and just put in your local area, and it will sort of put a marker there, not on your house, just in your local area, and you can search for other people in the local area who are connected to the project, and you can send out a request for them. Hey, let's all meet up, let's have a discussion group, let's have an action group, let's identify a local issue and then start dealing with it on a local level, but doing it from the correct perspective. You know, too many times, you know, we deal with local problems, and we've all got local problems, whether it's the garbage collection or the roads or whatever. There's something in your community that annoys just about everybody in that community that this thing is happening. And what I'm trying to say to people is that all of this legislation that constrains you is all basically abuse of office by the politicians that enact these laws. And if you get the right approach and form these action groups and identify a local problem, you might get the people who are asleep around you to actually want to fix this problem too, and you might be able to help explain to them that they're taking the wrong approach to what the problem is. You know, we run around putting band-aids on all these symptoms that are created by government. I think we need to go to the root cause and address the abuse of office of the politicians who are creating all this legislation to begin with. You know, so it's that sort of an approach that I want to have. But, you know, I created the project and I purposely stepped away because there can be no leaders in this. This has to be a grassroots movement. You know, people listen to these shows, they listen to all this stuff, they get all this information, but they don't act on the ground themselves. They don't get off the computer and get out in the real world and start making change themselves. And this is a means for people who want to get active to be able to link up and actually do that. Like I said, just identify a local problem and deal with it in a local way. this is why I can't lead it. No one can lead this because I don't know what's going on in your community. You do, you know, but you have to want to get involved. You know, put your money where your mouth is. The people that are looking at this and say they want to actually do something, well, here's the mechanism whereby you can find people to do it. You know, and it's up to you to vet it and screen it and see whether you're being infiltrated and, you know, see if anyone's trying to lead you in a corporate direction or whatever. I mean, use your discernment. You know, I can't really screen that sort of a thing. Of course, there's going to be infiltrators. There always is. But, you know, you'll find that you will find people in your local community that do want to get involved, or at least you'll find friends and support groups around you. There's groups in England that never knew each other that have all gotten together. There's groups in Holland that have gotten together, groups in France that have gotten together, people that never knew each other before that at the very least now have a support group and a discussion group and something to go on, something to help them feel sane and to help them feel empowered. So that's what it's about, really.
Well, that's great. You know, it's I don't know if I'm interpreting it right, but you tell me if it's on the right track. You know, a lot of people out there have social media and they're addicted to that social media, but this is a type of a gateway of a social media that can lead to real socialization, real interaction. The way that I grew up, and I really think the way it should be, where you can actually go and meet someone, but you use the internet for the right, the technology in the right way for the right reasons, where you have knowledge or you're learning or you want to share or you want to learn, you know, whatever it is, or you want to participate some way. Well, here's a social media that makes sense. It's not going to shorten your attention span to below a goldfish. It's going to open a door for you in your, like you're saying, in your community, whether it's, you know, regional or international, whatever. So it's something I'm even personally going to look into myself. So, but it's a type of social media outlet that I think it makes much more sense, and it's much healthier than the ones that we're being pushed on, like the Facebook and Twitter and all this stuff. So.
Yeah, you know, like we've got sort of notice boards and all that sort of stuff there, but it's purposely designed in such a way that you're not going to want to go and just hang on the Full Circle website all day and chat with people. It's not about that. You know, it's about sharing information, seeing what other groups are up to, linking up with people. Now, you can even go in there and you can, if you've got some particular thing you're interested in, say maybe permaculture or whatever, find a group that's involved in that. Find out what they're up to. Perhaps share ideas with them so you can bring it over to your group. But, you know, get involved. It's about getting involved on the ground in your community. You know, that's what we need. We need hands-on work in the community ourselves. People need to identify these problems, you know. Unfortunately, even creating the project, yeah, there's a lot of people they'll join, and then they'll see there's a whole bunch of people in their area, but they don't send out connections. They're scared to connect with anyone. They're sitting there waiting for the newsletter to tell them that the world has changed and they didn't have to participate. You know, and this is why I've purposefully stepped away from the project. I've even like purposefully in my local area here, I haven't sent out any connections to start any groups here, but I've seen a lot of people sign on to the project who live very, very close to me. I would think that they'd be thinking, well, hey, I live very close to Max. Why don't I send out an invitation to start a group and invite Max to it to see if he comes? And I haven't received one yet. I haven't received an invitation. So, you know, it's getting people motivated into wanting to participate and wanting to actually take that first step themselves is the problem. You know, when you look at the whole thing, you know, this system of fear-based mind control that we live in, people are literally, you know, becoming scared to reach out to other people, which is all a result of this system. It's all a play. It's all a plan. But I'm seeing a lot of that even within the Full Circle Project. And it's important for people to look at this and look at the opportunity that this community connector provides for them and see what they can do for it, see what they can do with it, you know. And it's a good way of coordinating action groups. There's the In Power movement, which is the group that has taken on smart meters, Josh DeSole and all of that crew, a guy called Cal Washington, I think. I might have that name wrong. I hope I haven't. But they've created a movement whereby they're issuing liability notices to the government for smart meters, basically. And they've stopped smart meters in Hawaii. And they're using Full Circle Project and Community Connector and this sort of thing to coordinate groups on the ground to get this action happening. So any action that you've got, you can use the Full Circle Project to coordinate that action. And, you know, and it's decentralized and you're in control of the group you create. And it's great. I mean, it does work and a lot of people have been using it. So I do urge people to get involved because, you know, ultimately it's got to come down to grassroots action. You know, the problem with this system, you know, with everything that we want to do, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what project you have. It may be an earth-changing project like permaculture. Why haven't we got edible forests everywhere? You know, earth shifts, cob housing, all this stuff we can do. You can go and do these workshops and you can learn all these skills. You can learn common law. You can learn all of this stuff and then go and try and do any of it. And you cannot do any of it because what happens is whatever project people create, they fail to factor into the equation the reality that this world is run by a criminal class. It's run by a cacistocracy. You know, the worst people responsible or the worst people possible for the job have maneuvered themselves into power, and that's who's running the world. It's not even an oligarchy. You know, we call it an oligarchy. It gives this concept of this grand group of rich, powerful people. Really, they're criminals. They're scum. They're the scum of the earth, and they've maneuvered themselves into control of all our political systems. And until we factor into our equation with whatever we are creating, the reality that this world is run by a criminal class who simply make law up as they go along, we're not going to get anywhere. You know, and they make it up. They make it up. They're all in abusive office. They give themselves powers they have no right to have at all. And it isn't even an abuse of power that we're seeing from these people. It's an abuse of office by giving themselves powers they don't have. You know, especially in the United States, they claim to get the power from the people, but you don't have the power to lock me in a cage. So how can you give that power to government? How can they have the power to lock you in a cage if you don't have that power? How can they claim to get that power from you? It's not anything like that. They just make it up because it's an abuse of the office that they hold by giving themselves powers that they are not entitled to. You know, we don't need government. We need managers of infrastructure. You know, just the other day in the United States, the government shut down, for a few days or a week or something like that? Did anybody notice that the government shut down? That should be a good indication of how much we really don't need these people. You know, we've got all these organizations that we need to manage vital services, the fire department, the hospital, all this stuff. And government gets in the way and says, well, you've got to pay us for all this stuff that you're doing, and we're going to get a take, and then we're going to pit you against other countries, which isn't really against the other countries. It's against the other government in the other country that have cooked up this conflict to keep their people in check, you know. It's all theatre. We don't even need these people. So I think we're seeing a huge awakening in this respect, and hopefully we're going to see more of that this year. Hopefully, you know, this system is becoming so much in people's face now that they're going to see the need to actually stand up for themselves, grow a backbone and stand up. You know, it's time we did it, you know.
Yeah, well, I couldn't agree more. I think there's, unfortunately, the culture of fear is in full force, and the criminality. You know, I had such a hard time understanding, you know, how come there's so much crime all over the place, and how come it's so easy to break a law? You know, if you, somebody will, you know, go over 1 mile over the speed limit, you're a lawbreaker, and then you go look it up on the internet in Canada and the U.S. I think it's like a criminal. It's not just like a misdemeanor. It's considered like a criminal offense. You're going over the speed limit, but they don't tell you that. Oh, it's just a traffic infraction. No, it's attached to criminal offense. And so this criminal justice system, it's designed not for the honest person who wants to live a simple life, who wants to explore the consciousness of being alive with yourself, your family and friends. And so that's why I was so interested in learning more about the Circle Project, is because there's people out there who want to discover who they are. And sometimes, but is, you know, when you learn from other people, you learn about yourself. And so this criminality was just driving me nuts. And then I realized is the system's being gamed. We've been gamed all our lives. So that's why I'm glad that you're able to educate people. And for those of you out there who are not familiar with Max, I probably should have mentioned in the beginning, he's been doing research for a long time, and he has an important website called The Crow House. .com. So check that out. He's got all kinds of articles and information if you want to know more about him. But getting back to this thing that you're saying, the system that's being put into place, you know, I was doing my own homework and I came across the cell phone infrastructure. I used to work in telecom for many years, but you're the one who brought to my attention. I left it for obvious reasons. You know, not only is it a criminal enterprise, not the employees and the company, but the militarization of imprisoning people and making them sick using these radio wave technologies, but the sinister, insidious nature of 5G. And I learned a lot from you over this. I was wondering if you could expand on that for us, the listeners tonight, on what it is and where do you think this is all going?
Absolutely. Look, it's a really important issue. Getting back to what you were saying before about the criminal justice system, though, even with that statement, they tell you what it is. It's a criminal justice system. It isn't a system that brings you justice. It's a way of criminalizing justice. And we're being farmed. We're living in a people farm, and they all know it. All the politicians know it. They all know it. You know, and our problem is we don't factor that into our equations. You know, and it's these people that are bringing this whole 5G smart system online. 5G is very, very dangerous. 5G is a whole new step in communication. Millimeter waves. These are very, very short waves, which is they're going to have to put relay stations virtually everywhere on almost every lamppost to make this work. But it provides a very, very high bandwidth, so they need it for the Internet of Things, for the smart grid that they want to put on, for, you know, for self-driving cars, for instantaneous transactions, all these Amazon stores that are coming on, cash-free, all this sort of stuff. You know, if you've got millions of people shopping at the same time and it's all going to be done via the smart system, you're going to need an awful lot of bandwidth to do this. So this is what 5G is all about. 5G, the problem with it is it's military-grade technology. It's the same as what they use in airport scanners. So it's going to be like we're all living in an airport scanner permanently. That's what it's going to be like when this comes online. It also has military applications such as microwave cannons and all this sort of stuff. It is possible with the 5G system to microwave an entire city. Just set it up as active denial system, no-go zone. You could do this with any of the 5G systems. So the potential for misuse is really off the charts with this system. And the health damage that it's going to do anyway is just off the charts. And it's really a bad, bad system. And there's no health checks being run out with it because they've already checked it. They know it's dangerous. They've already used it for military applications. They know it's going to hurt us. So they're not worrying about any safety checks. They're just rolling it out, not waiting for any standards. They're just saying we need this because it's going to be money, money, money for the big companies. But really, it's far more than that. It's about control. Now, the Internet of Things is about surveillance. It's not about convenience. The Internet of Things and the smart grid, the cashless society, is the new world order. This is a system whereby they will be able to monitor every single aspect of your life, and they'll be able to shut you out of the system at will anytime they want to. You know, even with things like cryptocurrency, you know, all these things are tools. The cryptocurrency, you know, decentralized currency, in the current fiat system, in this current system that we've got, the cryptocurrency could well lead us away from this banking sector and lead us to a state of independent wealth where we're kind of free of this system in many ways, and it could lead to more freedom in many ways if we play our cards right and we use the tool right. But if we embrace the cryptocurrency and we fail to take the smart grid into account that is being rolled out to accommodate the rise of cryptocurrency, that's one possibility, that it's being rolled out to accommodate the rise of cryptocurrency, because if everyone moves away from the fiat system into this digital currency world, into this crypto world, the only way to combat that is to create this smart system so that you've got a means of controlling it. Now, at the moment, they keep everybody in check via scarcity through the fiat system. We all know how it works, fractional reserve banking, the whole thing. We know how it works. But with the cryptocurrency, it's very difficult to do that because it's all decentralized. But what they can do is by digitizing everything and making everything smart and using all sorts, depending on what they use for your signature and your password as well. You know, everyone's been expecting microchips and all this sort of stuff. I would suggest this is a red herring. They don't need microchips. They can use nanotech, they can use bioacoustic resonance, they can use retinal scans, thumbprints, all sorts of ways of doing it. They don't have to microchip you. They can send a signal off your bones, which will send back a bioacoustic resonance, which is completely unique to you. That's your password, cannot be forged. No one can pretend they're you. They need your entire skeleton to do it. So, you know, this is the sort of things they can do. And then what they do is they limit that particular person, whatever access you're using, whether it's your retinal scan or your thumbprint or your bioacoustic resonance or whatever, they limit the ability of that person to have access to certain basic services. They brought this in China recently with what they call a social credit system, where there was a man, a journalist, who complained about the government, went to buy a plane ticket. He'd paid all his fines and all the stuff, paid his debt. Then he went to buy a plane ticket, and he was told that he was not qualified for that plane ticket, not qualified to ride on high-tier trains. So this is what they'll do. They'll find, in that point, it won't matter how much cryptocurrency or whatever you've got. If you're not qualified for certain services due to your biometric signature, then you're simply not qualified, and the only thing you've got to argue with is a machine. Now, these guys in China that have been barred from the system, there's no appeal process. There's no one they can ring. There's no one they can call. There's no one they can write to. There's nothing. They weren't even notified that they'd been blacklisted from the system. And not only that, but their phone ringtone has been changed on their phone in some states so that when a person calls them, that person is alerted that the person you are calling is on the government's credit blacklist. So this is what they're doing. So that way people don't want to associate with these people. It squeezes them out of society and it criminalizes them. Eventually leads them into a point where they have no other option other than to commit crime because they don't have access to basic services. Then they end up in the base in the prison system, and this is what they do with dissenters. They just squeeze them out. Because in the system that's coming online, there will only be two types of individuals. There will be desirables and there will be undesirables, and that will be determined by the algorithm, by how much they are willing to participate in the system and what their political and social views are, which will all be monitored through social media, Facebook, all this sort of stuff. You know, and what you were saying before about crime, the amount of crime there is, you know, crime comes from government. That is the source of all crime, because crime is created when legislation is created, such as when Obama enacted Obamacare. He said that there were 80,000 new laws that came into being with Obamacare. This is the creation of 80,000 new crimes, because every time they write a law, that's a new crime. You know, so if you want to create a police state, this is how you do it. You just write more and more legislation, create more and more laws. Suddenly it becomes a crime to walk your dog on the beach or to sit down on the grass or to walk in the park on a Sunday, all these things that we normally do. And then the media comes out and goes, oh my God, look at the crime figures for New York last year. The crime figures are through the roof, four times as much crime as there was the year before. And everyone's looking around going, I'm not seeing a lot of crime. But it's because the government has made it illegal to do all these basic things that you used to be able to do all the time, park your car in front of your house, for example. And suddenly they say, oh, look, my God, look at the crime figures. We need more police. More police, more laws just to combat the crime. And every law they create is the creation of a new crime. So this is why the crime figures are through the roof and we need a police state to deal with all the crime, because of the rubbish that these criminals write down on paper by the abuse of office again. You know, and it's these guys that are running this smart grid. See, that's the thing, you know, with the whole technocratic society and technological society that we have. I mean, technology is great. I'm not anything against technology. I'm not a technophobe in any way, shape or form. The problem with technology is and always will be who controls the technology. And when we've got a world that's run by criminals, they've brought us to this point, they've concocted all of these wars and this whole control grid, this whole people farming that they've been carrying on for generations, these are the people who are bringing this smart grid online. So it's really important for us to look at the deeper perspective. It's really important for those people who are embracing Bitcoin to take the smart grid into account. And it's really important for those who are scared of the smart grid and not embracing Bitcoin to see that this is just a tool and it can be used how we choose to use it. Same as the information that's coming out from QAnon. I don't expect this to go anywhere. I really don't. I mean, we've heard all this stuff all the time. And even if they were to arrest anybody, what's it going to change? It's not going to do anything. It's not going to stop this smart grid. You know, you could arrest everybody you want in the United States, arrest the entire Clinton Foundation, bring down DynCorp, all this stuff. It's not going to fix the situation in Europe, in England, in America. It's all the one thing. It's all the one big corporate entity with all these little franchises that we call countries, essentially. You know, so even with all this QAnon stuff, when people are looking at it, they're too Americentric in their thinking. This is a worldwide issue. This is a worldwide corporate entity that is doing all of this. And all the government's players, it's all theater for the masses. You go around the world, you don't meet anybody in any country who wants to have a war. It's just governments that play each other off against each other. Who wants to be the villain this week? How can we maneuver this to where we want it to go? And that's what it's always been about. You know, we don't even need government. We don't need these people at all. So I might have gone a little bit off track then from whatever the question was, but yeah.
I'm glad that we're having this discussion and you're able to shed so much light on it because, you know, for myself, I always found that I couldn't understand the crime and how does it come about? How come it's criminals that are running all this? But when I go to work and I have a job and I see people, I don't see criminal people around me. I don't see, you know, I understand there are places where there's incredible atrocities around the world. But if from a Western standpoint, I'm sheltered and bubbled away. But ultimately, you know, the thing that I found quite interesting is that the criminal element in today's society, particularly the Western world, is taught to us as infant children. You know, we're taught baseball and basketball and football, and all the sports have theft and deception and secret hand signals that are embedded, and you learn it when you're 3, 4, 5, all the way until you're you know, supposedly a legal adult. And then you go into the business world and you find out you can't do honest day's work and then keep your money and then the taxation, all these other. And so then everybody just gives into this criminal mindset. And then you here you are talking about the 5G stuff in this social credit system, which I learned that from you, is that I looked up on Google Trends on the internet and I looked up 5G and I couldn't believe it. The first I thought it was, you know, it would be a Western country that would be the first country that did the most searches on 5G. It's China, and the United States is the 22nd country, way far back. And I understand China has got, you know, tons and tons of people there, but they are, you know, you're teaching me about the social credit system, you're teaching me about the impacts of 5G. And here it is in Google Trends, where China is probably actually a leader, not only in awareness of 5G, but implementation of the whole thing. I just couldn't believe it. And so it's because of your work and your presentations that I even could even put my mind around the whole thing. What do you think, though, about the impacts? Because this is probably going to interlink with people who want to know more and share their thoughts with other people about the Full Circle Project. What do you think what we could do your thoughts on the health issues of this 5G? You know, if we're going to live in an airport scanner kind of environment, I mean, that's you know, I have friends who have children. I don't want them growing up in that.
Something that's been really effective, like I say, is these liability notices. And this is something Jordan would know about. You know, the way the legal system works, it's all so convoluted. I mean, it's all fiction anyway. Ultimately, it's all fiction. It's all just rubbish they write down on paper. But, you know, if you step above legislation and get back into commerce, it's commerce that runs all governments. Everything is run by commerce. While we've got this money system here, which is, you know, basically the glue that holds the whole thing together, then it's all based in commerce, all of it. So what they've done with these, with the Empower movement, with the smart meters, if they've created a liability notice. What they've done is they basically lodge an affidavit saying, well, here's all the damage that the smart meters have done. You'll find that this affidavit's already been lodged. If you go and join up with the Empower movement, you'll find out the where it all is. And then you say, well, this affidavit's already been lodged, so here's your liability notice. Send it to your local council, to your local governor, whatever, all of them, three people. And you say, well, and if you come and install a smart meter on my house, you are agreeing that you're going to be held liable for the damage that it's done. You're going to be held financially liable to the tune of X amount per hour that this is on my house. And they did this in Hawaii, and they stopped smart meters straight away because it puts it all above everything and puts it back into commerce and holds the people, like the guy doing the install, the energy minister and the governor of your state, it holds them all personally liable for this smart meter because here's the affidavit saying the damage that's going to be done. When you lodge an affidavit, that stands as a truth. And the only way that can be debunked is for someone to lodge an affidavit that proves yours is wrong. And in the case of smart meters and 5G, they can't because all the information is correct and here's the damage that they do. You know, but people have got to be prepared to step above it. You know, see, use the language that they use to enslave you. It's all fiction anyway, but it's the language they use. And it slows them down. And when you tell someone, you tell the governor and the guy installing it and all these people, hey, you're going to be liable for the tune of this much, financially, personally liable, and you've got 100 people in your state do that. It doesn't even take the whole state to do it. It just takes a few people to do it. You're going to find these guys back down pretty quickly because you're speaking their language. Admittedly, it doesn't stop it happening. But it throws a spanner in the works and makes them have to do a double take. They've got to step back, and now they've got to try to find another way of rolling this out. You know, that's a way to do it. That's one way to do it, through public awareness as well. You'll let people know what these things are doing. If you've got to do letterbox drops, pamphlets, whatever. I mean, let people know the damage that these things are going to do and the danger of 5G. But the liability notices are a good thing because this is untested technology by their own words. You know, Tom Wheeler, the head of the FCC, has already said, we will not wait for the standards. He said that in a public meeting. It's on video. You can get it on YouTube. Right there saying it. So they're admitting they're not going to wait for the safety standards. Well, here's the damage. It's now lodged as an affidavit. So now it stands as a truth in commerce. Therefore, you agree, if you breach this, you are liable. And that's your language. Deal with it. That's the language your government is created under. So if we're going to be subject to this rubbish, this UCC crap that you throw at us, we're going to throw it back at you. We're going to use this language against you. We're going to find a way to empower the community and regroup and stop this altogether. You know, and you could do that through Full Circle Project. Find people and regroup and get discussion groups happening and get involved yourself on your community and stop these things being rolled out in your street. And this stuff that they're rolling out in Holland, they passed a new law in Holland. See, with smart meters, they can surveil everything. You know, a smart meter, this is the problem. This is the communication hub that they're using. You know, when we get all these smart devices in our homes, a smart TV, smart toaster, smart fridge. There's people in Sydney. There was a guy in Sydney arrested because his fridge was listening to him. He must have had some black mark against his name, and the cops thought, oh, what's this guy talking about over breakfast? They turned his fridge on, heard he was planning something illegal. They went to his house, they raided it, and they busted him. Well, maybe he's a criminal. Maybe he's doing something illegal. But the fact that they listened to him through his fridge, and it stood up in court that they were able to do that, and then they passed a law to say, yes, we're able to switch on any smart device, and we're able to surveil anybody, and it's admissible in court. Well, couple that with the legislation they passed in Holland in January, that said if there's one person in a block, in a city block, and these are all blocks that are packed pretty tight together if you looked at European housing, it's all sort of little apartments. Now, anybody in that block, if they have suspicion of anybody in that block, they're able to surveil them, and they only need one smart meter on that entire city block to be able to access surveillance and smart devices in any home on that block. So this is how wide these things go, and this is what they're doing with it. Now, it's all about surveillance. The whole thing's about surveillance. So it's very important that people look at this. And if we can nip it in the bud with the smart meters, it really puts a spanner in the works, and it slows it down. And doing things like always shopping with cash. When you're out in the real world, you don't have to just wave your card. Go draw money out of the machine and shop with cash. We don't want the fiat currency. It's corrupt. It's bad. But it's better than being led into this digital smart grid under the guise of convenience, because that's what it is. It's just so convenient to do all this stuff. And really, it's about surveillance, it's about tracking everything you do, and locking yourself into a situation where you forget that cash even existed, and that gives them the ability to lock you out of the system, to marginalise you, to bar you from certain services through this whole social credit system that they want to bring in. And the Chinese system, I mean, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, all these groups, they've all gone to China, they've all looked at this Chinese regimented system, and they love it. They'd love to see this introduced around the rest of the world. And you look at what's also coming online, which is the Chinese One Belt, One Road initiative, the new trade initiative, which is basically a resurrection of the old Silk Road. You're talking about a maritime road and a land road. And China will be running this, and I believe it will all be run probably from cryptocurrency or Tangle technology or some sort of digital currency. And this will basically lead everybody into this new trade agreement, the new digital system. I think this will all happen through North Korea. I think that's what all this North Korea thing's being staged for. I don't think there will ever be a war between the United States and North Korea. The world runs on business, and nuclear war destroys all business. That's even if nuclear weapons are possible, which I also question, but that's another story. It's just a speculation on my part. But I don't think there'll ever be a nuclear war between the United States and North Korea. I think that this is being used to create this whole theater of conflict, but at the very last minute, when all is lost, China will step in and save the day, will appease North Korea. North Korea will agree to not be so warmongering if we open up trade. And because the world is so grateful to China, they'll be awarded control of the new One Belt, One Road system. At that point, the United States may very likely lose its position as the global reserve currency. That's very likely to transfer over to digital. And then all the Americans will have to tighten their belt and bring the country back online and all this sort of stuff. You know, it'll all be done very theatrically and all done in a way that people will accept it. And then they can slowly introduce the Chinese work ethic in America, just to pull the country back online just for a little while. We're not going to keep it, you know, of course they are. And that's the way I think they're planning to take it, you know. See, the cryptocurrency is good in one way, but we've got to also understand that while we're all putting our money into the cryptocurrency, we're also inadvertently undermining the economies of all of our nations by doing so. And no matter how much we dislike this fiat system, we all depend on this infrastructure, and the infrastructure depends on the fiat system to run. So we walk a very, very fine line, and we've got to be prepared to lead ourselves through this and not allow the criminals that are running this world to lead us into what they want. Because, you know, this could all go two ways, and it's going to depend on us. You know, all of these things are tools. You know, people shouldn't hate the tool and shouldn't be fearful of the tool. It's like I said to someone the other day with a shovel. You know, you can dig a hole and plant a garden and plant a tree and have a wonderful thing, or you can hit someone over the head and dig a grave and bury them with it. You know, it doesn't mean both possibilities aren't there, but you can't say there's anything wrong with the shovel. It's just how people want to use it. It's the same with the cryptocurrency. It's the same with the information coming out from QAnon. It's the same with all this stuff. They're all tools that we can use, but it's our propensity to sit back and be led, to wait for the newsletter to come to tell us the world has changed, or to sit back in fear of what we see as inevitable and not actually doing anything about it ourselves. So that's what I'm trying to provide with Full Circle Project, and that's what I think a lot of people should be doing. You know, and even with the independent media, as you say, it's hard to find the truth because I think too many people have an agenda. Too many people want to sell their books or want to sell this or want to sell that. And I can appreciate people want to make money, and I nothing against that at all. But you know, I don't do any of that. I just say what I feel because I think it needs to be said. And I don't pull any punches. I don't see there's any point in glossing over the truth. And even if I get it wrong, well, hey, it's a learning process for me too. And if you go back 10 years, listen to my shows, I mean, you can hear the growth. So I think too many people don't simply call things for what they are because they're afraid of the outcome. You know, I don't have any stake in the outcome. I just say things because I think they need to be said. And I think people need to do that. They need to stand up for themselves, embrace the emotions that they're actually feeling, and stand up and speak their truth and call the system out for what it is. You know, we don't even need government, not in its current form. What we need is responsible managers of infrastructure, and we simply don't have that. You know, we have these people that are involved in people farming, tying us up in all their fiction. But like I said, with the Empower movement and things like this liability notice, you can actually use that fiction against them and at least slow them down. And in the process, empower yourself. You know, it makes a difference to people when they put in something like a liability notice and they actually get a result. They think, well, hang on, yeah, I have value. What else can I do? And it makes them want to get involved. So, you know, get out there and get amongst it, folks. Don't just wait for the newsletter. You know, we can all make a difference on the ground where we live. Get to know your neighbours. That's one of the biggest problems we have, is that we don't have the support of the community around us because we live in this state of fear from everybody else. You know, get to know people. We're all in the same boat here. We're all facing a common enemy, a common foe. You know, and people are in all these positions, and if you're in a country or a city or anything where there's lots of crime, realize this all comes from the government anyway. Most people steal because they're in a state of scarcity, because the financial system put them there to create this whole problem so they could create their police state. I mean, you can't do that without riffraff running around the street, and you've got to create the riffraff for that to happen, which they do. They've done that through the breakdown of the family unit and everything that they've done. I mean, stuff Jordan's talked about for years. You know, even the introduction of television back in the 50s to replace the parents with television is no more a finer example of this than in the millennials, who many people will say are simply attention seekers because they never had the parents there. They never had anything. They had televisions and iPads as soon as they were born. So now they go out and all they want is attention on Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook, and they want likes and all this stuff. And they don't even know what they're looking for. You know, they're out there seeking attention because they never got that attention from their parents. But they don't know that. They don't even know that's what they're looking for because they have no reference point. They don't know what's been stolen from them, which is simply this nurturing family environment, which is all a result of this system, which creates homeless people, creates crime on the streets, kids on drugs, all the stuff. Yeah, everything that we need to create the police state. Oh, look how terrible the crime is. You know, it's all a program, and it's all been done by design. It's all leading us towards this whole same system. You know, order out of chaos. People just don't realize what the chaos is. They're expecting a big war or something, but the chaos is already here. Just go for a walk around L.A.
Well, you know, this is why I'm so happy that you're able to come on the show tonight, because I don't want I want to learn from people who aren't glossing over the truth and who aren't holding punches, and that I'm going to learn and also be able to reflect. You know, like you said, you go to your site and the crowhouse.com, and there's a whole bunch of documentaries, articles. Yeah, there is an evolution. Everybody goes through it. You know, when you have a source like that, source like Jordan as well, but, you know, talking about your work and the projects that you're involved with, it's real. It's not, you know, this is the thing I was so interested in. It's not necessarily using a commercial platform, but it's not designed for commerce. It's designed to create a community interact. It's like a human connection, basically. That's the way I interpreted it. Even before learning about the Full Circle Project, that's the mindset that I want to gravitate towards. So this is why I'm so thrilled to have you on. And I want to just clarify one thing that I really was keen on. It really lit a light bulb in my mind, is this affidavit and impound movement. I didn't know about the impound movement, but I went down the path of the sovereignty movement stuff, and I noticed that a lot of it, the knowledge was not being used to help other people. It was just, well, I want to, you know, never pay taxes and pull out of the system and be away from everybody. But, you know, if you just learn contract law, and I think that's what you're talking about, and that's where I wanted to clarify with you, because the affidavits, they can be extremely powerful if you understand contract law. And that's how – I didn't even know about the Hawaii. Thank you for telling me about that. I'm going to look into that. But if you learn about contract law, and instead of learning about how to pull out of the system and, you know, you become invisible and all this stuff, and you have unlimited money through your birth certificate, you can learn how to create a change for yourself through your community with other people who want to know. Well, this is the kind of stuff I'm interested in. So could you expand a little bit more about this impound movement?
It's the empower movement.
Oh, empower. Sorry.
I am power, and that's Josh DeSole and Cal Washington's movement. I don't actually have anything to do with it, but I know that they've had results using these affidavits and stepping above the governmental system back into commerce, which is what runs government to begin with, you know. So, and it works. It actually does work, and it's very empowering, this sort of stuff. See, a lot of the stuff you're talking about, all the sovereignty movement and all of this sort of stuff, it's like the New Age movement. It's like the New Age version of legal and law, really, because it's basically a little bubble of narcissism. It's all about me, wanting to free myself and get access to millions of dollars so me can be looked after. You know, it's not about that. You could go and start some little, get access to all this stuff and go and start your little alternate community and isolate yourself as much as you want, and the world's still turning to hell around you because you're not paying attention to it. You know, you're not addressing the very, what created the need for you to go and build your alternate community to begin with? It's because the world's, you know, the world's heading for hell in a handbasket. It's running off a cliff and it's dragging the whole world with it. And you're still part of that world. You're just ignoring it. So, you know, you've got to apply these understandings to the community. And it's been a learning process for all of us. There's been so many red herrings in there to lead us into these little paths of narcissism. That's what it becomes about. You know, even the New Age movement. Or there's so much truth in New Age teachings, and there's so much absolute rubbish in there, which leads people into this little bubble of spiritual narcissism, which is what they do. And this is a classic COINTEL operation, the way they run these things. You know, they'll get real information, they'll embellish it to the point that it's ridiculous and lead you into a blind alley, and then they leave you there wondering what's going on, trying to figure it all out. But there's elements of truth in the whole thing. Another really good thing for people to look at is a website called the Justinian Deception. If you're into law and wondering how this all works, they've identified what the all capitals text really is. Now, we go through all sorts of, you know, ideas of it being capitis, diminutia, maxima, and all this sort of stuff. What it actually is dog Latin. It's dog Latin. It took this guy ages to find this, Romney Stewart. It took him ages to find this in the legal books, but he just started reading Black's Law until he got to the D's and he found dog Latin, and that's the all capitals text, which is an invalid text. It's the text of the language of the dead, the text found on tombstones. It's a debased form of text. It's actually illegal to use it. And he went into court on a traffic offence with his licence, and he went in there and he said, I'm going to speak for myself. And he went in and he said, I've just got a query, a question I want to ask the court. Is this the document you're using to bring these charges against me? And he held up his license. They said, yes. And he said, well, I want to know why my last name is spelt, why my last name is first, and why it's in this all capitals text. I'd like to know what this all capitals text is, because it doesn't appear to be a valid form of English. And I'd like to know what English styles manual the court used to compile this document. And they brought the hammer down and threw him out of the court straight away because they couldn't answer the question because they didn't use any English styles manual because it isn't an English style. It's a made-up text. It's dog Latin. It's not English. So simply by enjoining yourself to that. Now, you go into they give you a document. It's got your last name first. It's written in all capitals, and you go, yeah, that's my name. Okay, they're saying, okay, well, you're an idiot. You can't read. You're using a debased form of text. And now you're saying you can't even speak for yourself. You've got to get this lawyer to do it. So you're a moron who can't read. You can't write your name. You don't know what your name looks like, and you can't speak for yourself. No problem. Come into the court. You know? So it's just looking at it in the right way. So just having this knowledge of all these things and seeing how it all fits together. But again, you know, these are all tools we can use. You know, we get excited about things, we attach emotion to them, we go down this pathway of you know, half-cocked and get ourselves in a lot of trouble. You know, there's elements of truth and there's elements in all this and there's tools we can use through the whole thing. But ultimately, you know, you've got to step above it all and realize that it's all fiction. We made the whole thing up. The whole thing, we just made it up. None of it is real. All that is really real is natural law and people's tolerance of wrong behavior, which causes all of this. You know, if we didn't tolerate wrong behavior, none of this would happen. It wouldn't matter what they wrote down on paper. It wouldn't matter if we were strong enough to say, hey, that's wrong. And everyone said, hey, yeah, what he said, that's wrong. You know, and realize that this person, hey, you just put there to manage infrastructure anyway. And by even writing this down, you've given yourself powers that you have no right to. So you're an abuse of the office that you hold. So bye. See you later. We'll put someone more responsible in there that will manage our infrastructure properly. And if you won't do it, well, we'll manage it ourselves. You know, this is the attitude people have to have. They've really got to look at it, see how they're being played with all this. And even if you go into court, go into any of these courtrooms and see if you can get hold of the court document, you'll find you're the only registered entity in the courtroom. The police officers are all there as non-registered entities. The prosecutor's there as a non-registered entity. The solicitor's there as a non-registered entity. You're the only registered entity in the courtroom, just there so they can milk all your wealth from you because you agreed with all this stuff and said, yeah, take care of me, throw myself on the mercy of the court and let this guy speak for me. You know, the people you're speaking to in there, they're just people, they're just men in suits and stuff, they're just guys, they do the same stuff as you, they're nothing special, you know, but we never treat them that way. We always think it's this big thing, you know, the court's designed to do that to you energetically and blah blah blah. So, you know, it's a whole schmozzle. But the thing is, you know, these people know it. Just the fact that you go into the court and you're the only registered entity in that court shows that the police know about all this. The lawyers know about all this. The judge knows. The government knows. Everybody knows. You are being played. You are being farmed. And the fact that they all know, just the fact that that document exists and they're all non-registered entities shows you're being farmed and this is a bunch of criminals and they're playing you and they're milking you of your wealth. This is a scam. This whole thing is a scam. So, you know, we can use tools such as this liability notice to you know, put a little crack in that and to empower people, but ultimately it's not the way out. I mean, the way out is for us to rediscover what we are and to stop tolerating wrong behavior. That's the way out. But things like the Empower Movement and this liability notice and learning about Dog Latin, the Justinian Deception, all this stuff, it's empowering to know this stuff. It's empowering to know the right questions to ask if you're ever in a position that you need to ask them. You know, but people have to stay in touch with the real world. You know, they've got to get involved in their own lives and start taking responsibility for themselves. Even on a basic level, even getting back to the smart grid and all the stuff we're facing with 5G, you know, taking responsibility for yourself in the real world. How many people can find a way around the towns that they live in now without a GPS? You know, I said to someone the other day, if you were arrested, God forbid, but if you were ever arrested and you were taken to a police station and they told you you were allowed to make your one phone call, would you know a phone number to call? Would you even know one? Have you ever actually dialed a number any time in the last 5 or 10 years to actually get it into your brain what that number is? Or is it all stored on your smartphone and you don't dial it anymore, you just hit the name and it dials it for you? You know, we don't know how to do the most basic things anymore. How many people can still write properly because they're texting and typing all the time? You know, how many people still have these basic skills? You know, it's scary how we're losing these skills. So, you know, just getting back in touch with reality is all the help. Get outside and put a plant in the ground. Dig your hands in the soil or something. It's good for you. You know, get back in touch with what it means to be human.
Wow, and this is exactly the kind of stuff that I think is very important for the next generation, and that you're going out there full throttle just saying, look, this is what we need to do, and if we don't, the capability of making decisions, we still have a window of opportunity to make these decisions. That's why projects like the Full Circle Project are out there, because when you can't make decisions anymore, you have to go up against an AI or a system that you can't really contest anything, like that social credit system that you brought my mind into the light on that. You won't be able to appeal. I mean, geez, you know, this is why we have to meet with each other, educate each other. And, you know, that's why I'm so happy to have you on to talk about this stuff, because there's not enough people out there doing this kind of high-level quality work quality presentation of the obvious. I don't know.
And the thing is, too, people have got to get involved, and people that are awake have got to get involved. You know, they've got to get out there in the real world and start taking steps to stop this smart grid coming out, or at least be aware of what they're being led into. Because the kids that are starting school now, you know, like, this is going so fast, so quickly. This whole smart grid will be, you know, up and running probably by the end of 2018. They want it fully up and running by 2020, and they want it to be fully autonomic by 2025. And that'll be the freaky part, when it becomes fully autonomic and fully self-regulating, self-correcting, all that sort of stuff. That's a whole new level. But, you know, the problem is that the kids that are coming through school now, the kids that are starting school now, by the time they finish school, even high school, let alone by the time they finish college, by the time they get there and they get immersed into this system with what they've done to the education system, and they're receiving these iPad educations all the way through, these children are going to have absolutely no reference point for what freedom looks like, or what reality even looks like, what it even really means to be a human. You know, they've grown up in families that have been iPad families, you know, technologically based families. The parents have been working. They haven't had a parent. They've had a television or a nanny or whatever. They've been educated by a state that's led them into this direction. And they're going to have absolutely no reference point for what freedom is. So we've got a very, very short window to turn this around. So it's really important that people get involved on the ground. You know, don't just watch YouTube clips and listen to radio shows. You know, all the information that you get from these shows, I try to put out so much stuff to motivate people to get involved. And it's so important that they do. It really is. You know, you can't just listen to the material and take it in and think, well, I'm informed now, I'm good. You know, there's a real world out there, you know, outside. You remember outside, don't you? You can go out there. There's a whole world out there, folks, away from your computer screen. And there's people out there that are all looking for a better life, that are all so confused in who they are and everything, so caught up in this grind. Now, you could just do something like, you know, I often say, if you're baking biscuits or baking a cake, bake an extra one and go and meet the people next door and just introduce yourself and get to know these people and become friends with people. Because once you become friends with people, you can actually share political views with them, you know, and lead by example in your community. Be a shining light. Show people that you're better because you've got this information. You're more empowered because you've got this information. You know, and don't get in fear of it all. I mean, what do you care? You're only here for a minute. I mean, I'm 60 years old. God knows. I mean, I've had a great life. What do I care what happens? I'm only here for a breath. I have no stake in the outcome of this life. If the human race destroys themselves, it's not my problem. You know, I don't care. I won't be here. You know, but I'd like to leave a footprint. I'd like to leave the world better than how I found it. I'd like to make a difference, because I think that's what it's about. You know, it's not about building a pile of stuff to sit on to say, hey, look how great I am. I've got a bigger pile of stuff than you. It's not about any of that stuff, you know. You know, I think we're given huge opportunities through this, and I think we're at a real fork in the road right now. We've got so many tools we can use for freedom if we're sensible about it. And don't get paranoid about it. Don't get polarized in our thinking about it. Everything's so polarized, you know. Look at the Trump supporters. You know, either hate Trump or absolutely love Trump. Never the twain shall meet. They will never compromise on anything. Everything is done to polarize us. You know, even this smart grid, everything, it's all polarized, you know. You know, a lot of people really want it. A lot of people really want the smart grid. They want the fast downloads, you know, because everyone's addicted to dopamine. Everyone's, that's a lot of what the smart culture's done. It's gotten people addicted to dopamine, managed to, like you said earlier, lower the attention span to less than a goldfish, like 7 seconds now, the human attention span. Used to be goldfish was the lowest attention span on Earth. That was 8 seconds. And we've had like one for like 30 minutes or, you know, 7 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, and now it's down to 7 seconds. So they've done really well with that. And that's a lot of what this technology is as well. That's how they get you. It's the dopamine addiction. You know, every time you click an icon, a little thing happens in your brain, instant gratification. So we start measuring every moment by the amount of pleasure we receive moment by moment through our lives. And that also makes it very difficult to sort of bring this information to people, because you're not making them feel good. You're making them think. They don't really think. They just want that dopamine addiction, because they're looking for something. They're looking for that connection. They're looking for that love, that need to belong, that need for people to see them as something of value. And they don't even know that's what they're looking for. But it's because they never had that from their parents, because they're put in front of a TV and given an iPad, and they never had that real relationship and never had a chance to develop, you know, and you can't blame the parents, because it's all a program, it's all been done by design, you know, we've been led to exactly where we are now. And people think the system's broken. No, it's not. It's functioning absolutely perfectly and doing exactly what it's designed to do. You know, the fortunate part is that we have means, we have tools now, such as the cryptos and such as this understanding of commerce and the things that we can apply to the system to at least slow it down. You know, I don't think cryptos is the way out. I don't think money is the way out at all. Money's the glue that holds the system together. But centralized banking has brought it to this, has brought us to this point. So we need to decentralize that for a start. You know, if we did gain some independent wealth, maybe we could do something smart with it. And I think that we may even do that. I think we may be heading for a time of great abundance for a lot of people, but it's going to depend on what they do with that abundance, whether they go into this little bubble of narcissism and start enjoying all these useless pleasures in life which lead nowhere and spending their money on all this ridiculous stuff they don't need to, or whether they use it to create some sort of a real freedom movement to push us and in the right direction and create the right sort of public awareness, because there'll be enough money floating around the crypto world to do this and really take control of this system if people play their cards right and get a little bit involved in it and stop seeing money as the be-all and end-all and stop thinking it's about building a big pile to sit on, you know. Really what we want is freedom, and we have an opportunity to do that with all the tools we're given if we're sensible enough about it.
Well, thank you very much for coming on tonight, and don't forget to check out Max Deacon's website, thecrowhouse.com. Thank you for joining me tonight.
My pleasure, brother. My pleasure.
About throwing away valuable goods ever again. Take out the amount you need and reseal the package for use within the next 6 months. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's www.simplycleanfoods.net today.
American Survival Wholesale is a proud sponsor of the American Freedom Radio. And when you purchase quality products from AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, you help support this program. Our quality non-GMO foods do not contain MSG, high fructose corn syrup, or heavy metals. At American Survival Wholesale, you can choose from over 8,000 quality products, including self-defense weapons, bug-out bags, and long-term storable food at wholesale prices. We also have custom food packs available, including gluten-free, dairy-free, and vegetarian packs. If we don't have it, you don't need it. American Survival Wholesale is a veteran-owned and operated company which also supports our veterans in need, and we are very active in disaster relief. If you would like to become a distributor, please email us at bugoutamerica@usa.com or call 818-720-0759. We offer free consultations to answer all your questions. Do it today while things are calm. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com.
And when we're not invading some sovereign nation or setting it on fire from the air, which is more fun for our Nintendo pilots, then we're usually declaring war on something here at home.
We still, we're off, right?
I think so.
Yeah, you're off.
Okay, good.
Thank you, brother.
Oh, no.
So that was just a single hour, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool, not a problem. I was just checking.
I really appreciate you coming on, and yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, I hope I didn't talk too much, like over talk. I kind of rambled on a fair bit.
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, I'm delighted because you brought up all kinds of stuff that, you know, if I was a listener, I want to hear it. I've heard other, you know, some of the other shows, and this is personally, I'm thrilled. So.
Excellent, brother. Well, that's great. You're going to post that on YouTube?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and link it up, and I'll send you a YouTube link, Max.
No worries, brother. I'll probably upload it to my channel as well and share it out there.
Okay, we'll do. I'll send you a link as soon as it's done.
No worries, brother. I'll link back to your channel.
All right.
Okay. Lovely to talk to you. You take care.
All right. Thanks, Max. Have a great weekend.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. Thanks.